Want to dive right into our first installment. I felt directed to 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11. I really feel like the Holy Spirit showed me this scripture as a mirror or as symbolism that speaks to our now. You know, one of the things you do when you get ready to talk and have a message like this and have a conversation and talk about things is you spend some time praying and you ask for the Holy Spirit to direct you to a scripture that would speak to us when? Right now. And I really feel like 1 Samuel chapter 11 is a great story. It's a great truth. It's a battle that the children of Israel went through, and they fought and they won. And there are so many things about it that even though we may not be in that exact type battle, many of us are in a battle in a different type of way. And the things that we can learn from this scripture, the process and the principle and the way that God, on the behalf of the children of Israel, brought forth a victory and a breakthrough, I believe it can speak to us in the areas of our life that we need a breakthrough and we need a victory in our life. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit is going to show some stuff to you and I, because I believe it's a great picture of what's happening in our world today and in many of our lives. When we read this, I believe the light bulb is going to come on in our own heart, and with our mind's eye and with the eye of our spirit, we're going to see things happening in our own world right now that makes sense based on this scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 11. I'll read it to you, and then we'll just see which direction we're going to go in. It says, King Nahash the Ammonite went up to besiege Jabesh-Gilead. And all the people, or all the men of Jabesh, said to him, make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you. So King Nahash was the king of the enemies of the children of Israel. And King Nahash was a bad, bad man. He hated the children of Israel. He hated anything that had to do with the Lord God Almighty. He hated them every single day. So it was an opportunity to come and encamp around one of their isolated cities that still was still part of Israel. So he camped around them. And when they saw it, the men of Jabesh went out and said, oh gosh, we're going to die. Why don't we try to make a treaty, or why don't we try to negotiate with the enemy to try to see what his terms would be so that we could live? This is what this story looks like. This is in a time where a month before that, Saul had been anointed king. Do you remember how Israel wanted a king, wanted to be like everybody else? So God granted them a king. His name was Saul. He's a big old boy. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above everybody else. Brought out from a farm town, just kind of a big old country boy. His name ought to have been Ham or Butch or Bubba, something like that. He's just a big old farm boy that God anointed as king. And this was a month after that took place. So I believe King Nahash realized that, hey, the country is divided. The country is splintered. They are fragmented. This is a good time to go in there and get a stronghold, so that we can really, at the end of the day, destroy Israel and everything that has to do with the Lord God Almighty. But Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out. It's interesting. I gouge out your right eye, the right eye of every one of you. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to bring a disgrace on all of Israel. Everyone in Israel will feel this disgrace. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. You know, it's interesting how soon they had forgotten that they belonged to God, that there was someone that could rescue them, and it was the Lord God Almighty. So often, we look for help in the wrong place. We just think it's in the next text, the next email, the next person, the next date, the next relationship, the next hookup. Well, we're going to find some solution. We can just get somebody else. They were looking for somebody, but it wasn't someone. There wasn't somebody that was going to help them. It was the one who they belonged to that was going to help them. When the messengers came to Gibeah. Is that better, Johnny? Gibeah. of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept. They all just broke down and cried. Then just as that was happening, the Bible says Saul was returning from the fields. He's just a farm boy. And he was behind the oxen. And when he came up to the city, he asked, "What is wrong with the people and why are they weeping?" One scripture and one of the commentators said that they were weeping so loud that it got Saul's attention. Do you know how there are some people that cry pretty? When they cry, they're just, oh. It's got, wow, that's kind of pretty. But then there are some people that don't cry pretty. It's just kind of monstrous. It's just, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh. Don't do that. Don't do it like that. How many of you are here and you don't cry pretty? I don't cry real pretty. It's ugly. It's an ugly scene. You don't want to be in the room with me when I break down. It's just kind of volcano-ish. It's, bah! Saul noticed all this. And here's what happened. I love this. Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh said. They said, here's what's happening. Nahash, King Nahash. Just a side note, Nahash means serpent. King Nahash has camped at Jabesh Gilead. Jabesh Gilead means hill of witness. He's at a hill of witness and he surrounded the people and he's going to kill them all. But then the people have offered up a treaty to say, hey, is there any way we could work this out and maybe we could work out an arrangement? He's given them an arrangement. The arrangement and the compromise is that he's going to gouge out all of their right eyes. And if no one comes to help them, it's going to be over. All those people, all those relatives, all the family of God, they're going to lose their right eye. It's going to be a one-eyed city. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to bring a disgrace on all of Israel. Saul hears this. Remember, a month later, he had been anointed by Samuel as king, as the chosen one. And when he hears this, all of a sudden, verse 6 takes this story from being trouble and it's sinking. All of a sudden, there is a shift in the story where God steps in. And it's not God invited. It's really not God. It's not God pleaded for. It's God, out of his mercy and out of his grace, sees what's going on to his people, to his beloved, and he steps in. And the Bible says in verse 6 that as Samuel sees this, the Spirit of God comes upon Saul. It comes upon Saul. And then he gets angry. Says, what are you talking about? What did you say? Our family, the children of Israel, they've offered an agreement. We already have an agreement. It is a covenant with God Almighty. Why would we make a covenant with someone else when we have a covenant? Why would we serve someone else when we already serve someone? One that's faithful and true. And the Bible says, I love that in verse 6. It says, when Saul heard these words, the Spirit of God came upon him. He burned with anger. And it said he took his oxen and he cut them into pieces. Just took out a sword. Could you imagine it be Betsy? He just, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden you see your master, what's he doing with the sword? Woof. Whoa, that's going to leave a wound. I mean, that's going to be painful later on. And he cuts his ox into pieces. And he picks up, and these men are standing like, are we next? Are we next? He's so far, he's raging. And he takes these pieces, and he looks at someone, somebody standing there. He takes it, he says, take this all over Israel. And you tell Israel that if they do not show up to fight what I have done to this pair of oxen, I will do to every oxen across this nation if they do not show up and fight. Got ox goop just all over the ground. Okay! He puts it in a burlap sack. And these messengers run all throughout Israel. They show up in cities. Hey, everybody, hey, 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 listen up! Saul's going crazy. And he opens up the burlap sack and it falls out. Poof, 3-day-old ox hindquarter. says they've surrounded Jabesh. They're going to cut out their right eyes. If you don't show up to fight, Saul's rallying the troops. We're coming together as one. And if you don't show up to fight, the same thing that happened to these oxen, Saul's going to come visit your livestock. And the people are struck with godly fear, and they show up. And they fight. They show up to fight. And they gather 10 miles from Jabesh. And the Bible says that the news came to Jabesh that that they were going to be rescued. And everybody got fired up. Woohoo! Wow, what's up? They're going to have it. And so when they hear about that, they go out and send a messenger out to King Nahash. Says, hey, listen, tomorrow about noon, we're going to all show up out here. And you can cut out our right eyes or do whatever seems good to you because we're kind of stuck. And so King Nahash settles in for the night and says, tomorrow we will have a party in Jabesh. And we will cut out everyone's eyes. But early before the sun rose, Saul snuck up with 330,000 fighting men. And he said, everybody count 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And he divided them in three groups. He said, this group goes this way, this group goes this way, this group goes this way. And it's pre-dawn. And the Bible says they ascend on the camp of King Nahash. And they destroy and slaughter them all. It says, they slaughter them until noon. And at noon, there was none of the Ammonites that were even left together. They were all just individuals running away. Say, what in the world does that have to do with me and my family? What does that have to do with? I've got to Twitter after church. What does that have to do with Twittering? What does that have to do with Piccadilly? It has everything to do because it's symbolic of what you and I deal with every day. Here's how it's symbolic. Every single one of us will come to a hill of witness. Your marriage will come to a hill of witness. Your family will come to a hill of witness. Because there's always going to be a King Nahash that hates you. See, you have an enemy. You have an enemy of your soul. It is Satan himself. He hates you. He will always hate you. He will hate you every single day. His desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy your life, your dream, your hope, your vision, your family, your children, your resources, your faith, your joy. Every single day, he comes against you. And he doesn't come against you with this all out, we're going to take you off the cliff. He comes against you with a gradual type of treaty. And he says, let's talk about it. Come on. Let's do a give and take. Here's how we'll do. I'll offer you a few things. You offer. Let's do some trade up. And it doesn't have to happen in a short time. We'll let it happen over a long time. You know what he does? He offers you and I a compromise. See, Nahash came to the children of God and said, I want to make a treaty with you. Do you know what that word treaty means? It means marriage. Let's come together and make a covenant. Let's come together and kind of sort out a little bit of an agreement. Let's negotiate. Strike a compromise. I love what C.S. Lewis says. The road to hell is a gradual one, a soft slope and gentle. It's downward with no potholes, and you'll never find a warning sign on it. The road to hell is a gradual one. I can remember when I was growing up, a skateboarder a little bit. I know I look like a big-time skateboarder, and I look like I should be doing X Games today, but I'm here instead. I just feel like it's the right thing. But a friend of mine taught me into going across town, and there was about 20 minutes, there was this slope, this gradual hill that I didn't think was no big deal. I'd heard about people skateboarding there. I showed up, I said, this ain't nothing to it. They were like, hey, Dean, let me tell you about it. I was like, nah. About midway down the hill, I realized it was about a mile long. Halfway down, I'm running about 35. Skateboard off. What? I bailed off. As I bailed off, skin peeled off. And I look like a strawberry in Ponchatoula being sold. Y'all know what I'm talking about? One big old strawberry. Why? I had no idea the speed I was picking up on this decline. See, the enemy mostly doesn't take marriages and individuals off of cliffs. He brings them into a destructive decline. And you really never know the acceleration of the direction that you're heading in. Can someone say amen? You and I both know how this works. We don't have to talk about this long. We see this. This is what's happening in our world today. This is what's happening to many of your lives right now. Nahas says, give me your right eye. You'll still be able to see, but here's the problem. You won't be able to fight. See, they fought in close proximity. So most of them fought with a shield and a sword. And so a lot of times they would use that shield and there would be a carved out in that corner. If you look at the shield, it's carved off. Why? So their eye can see across the shield so they would know how to maneuver. If Nahash took their eye out, they would no longer be warriors. They would now be slaves. And here's what he knew. If I get your right eye now, in 12 months, I'm going to show up and I'm going to cut your head off. That's how the enemy works. We think he wants a little. We think he just wants an inch. We think he just wants an hour. He doesn't want an hour. He wants 24 hours. We think he just wants a moment of our life. He never wants a moment of our life. He wants everything. You can't negotiate with the enemy. How do we negotiate with the enemy about our life? How do we trust him with precious things in our life? You can't. He will deceive you and he will bring destruction into your life every single time. Here's what Nahash was basically saying. You can be alive, but you'll be a slave. You can be alive, but you'll be a slave forever. Here's the big idea and here's the truth. What we face in our life. Here's kind of the hill of witness that you and I are going to find ourselves at. Is that everyone, I mean everybody, every one of us will come to a place where we are offered a compromise and a counterfeit covenant with the serpent. Every single one of us will have a moment, we'll have it, our marriage, our finances, our children, our future, we're all going to get to a point in life where you and I are going to be offered a compromise. I don't know what it will look like. It comes in a lot of shapes. It comes in a lot of sizes, but it's usually just a little, just a little, a little, a little, just a few, just a little. We can just work this out. Let's work together. Come on, let's meet in the middle. We can offer terms. You can win. I can win. I mean, it happened to Moses. Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, come on, everybody. Let's leave your children here. And you got the promised land. But leave your children here. Then he said, okay, how about this? Take everybody into the promised land, but leave your sacrifice here. Moses said, nope. Let my people go. God says it's all or it's none. Matter of fact, that's what Satan did to Jesus in the wilderness. What did Satan do? Satan came to Jesus and said, I know you're hungry. Got a lot of rocks around here. Come on. We can make it a yeast roll. Hot with butter. Work with me. I know you're hungry. Just change one of these rocks into a good old biscuit. And we're all good here. Look at all the nations of the world. You're going to own them anyway. Why don't you let me help you out to have them? Look at all the power. Let me give you a little power. We can share power. And Jesus said, get behind me. Get behind me. That's a lie. That is not the truth. There is not a lie in it. There's not truth in anything you say. The Word of God says this. It's just a little. Just a little compromise. That's what you and I face. That's what you and I deal with. Come on, just a little drink. No big deal. Just drink a little. It's okay. Just a little porn. Just a soft porn. We'll go soft. A little lie. Just lie a little. Affair. A little affair. Just for a little moment. Just a little self. A little jealousy. Just steal a little. A little stealing. It's okay. Hold the tithe back just a little. A few weeks, a few months. You got to get some stuff done. Hold the tithe back. Just a little sex before marriage. Not a big deal. Everybody else is great. It's cool. It's all good here. We can work through this. Come on. Go to the casino. Little Lady Luck, that's your girl. Everything's good. We'll all work this out. Everything's great. It's no big deal. I don't want anything but your right eye. You think all he wants is our right eye? He wants us to be a slave, my friend. He wants us to be a slave. And they were willing to. And it was headed in that direction. But God stepped in. Said, no, that's not the plans I have for my people. Do you know the enemy is always after our vision and our sight? It's interesting that when they got Samson in a lockdown, you know what they did? They gouged out his eyes. So the Philistines did. They gouged out his eyes. The enemy always wants our vision and our sight. Why? Because without vision, we perish. There's no vision. There's no dream. There's no future. The enemy is after that. But Jabesh did not lose their eyes. They did not lose their life. Nor did they lose their family. Nor did they lose their city. Old farm boy got fired up. God came on a farm boy. He heard, what did they say? What did they say they're going to do? He just got fired up. I thought he got fed up and he got fired up. Sometimes in life, you got to get fed up with the enemy telling you everything you're not and everything that you're going to be. You got to get fed up with compromise. Can I have a good amen? You got fed up with a little. Why? Because a little is never enough. A little is never enough for the enemy. He always wants more. It's always more. And you got to get fed up and you got to get fired up. Saul got fed up and got fired up. And so we're not. No, that's not how it's going to end. It's not how this is going to happen. And God came upon him and he did a few things. And I just want to give them to you real quick, just to bring application. Just application to a story that I believe can overlay on our lives. And they're just going to be quick thoughts. Here's the first one. You know what Saul did? He surveyed the reality. A smart thing he did. He looked around and said, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? He listened and he looked around. And he said, okay, here's what's happening. The question I have is, how good is our hearing and our sight? Are we seeing our marriage? Are we seeing our children? Are we seeing the situation? Sometimes we have to take a step back and really see what's going on here. It's more than what meets the eye. There's something happening behind the curtain of the temporary. Saul stepped back and said, what's happening here? And he realized that there was going to be a disgrace 40 miles away from where he lived. And he thought, that can't happen to the children of Israel. You and I at times need to step back and try to see what in the world is going on. What's happening in my life? Where am I headed? Why am I in this situation? How did I find myself in this place? Got to survey the reality. The second thing he did is he surrendered to the Spirit of God. He just decided, I can't, but God, you can. It's amazing what God can do with a yielded person. He spoke fight into his heart. We've talked enough. Thank God for the reflection. Thank God for the crying. Now it's time to change. Now it's time to go to battle. My prayer is that we are not more concerned about our business plan than we are our battle plan. Because in life, you need a battle plan, because the enemy is going to come against your life. And sometimes even in a marriage and a home, we get our business plan straight, but we don't have our battle plan straight. And if you're going to make a difference for Jesus, you're going to need a battle plan. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Here's the third thing he did. He embraced the urgency of the moment. The right now. We've talked about the right now moment. I believe we are living in urgent days. These are urgent moments for us as a family, for you and your marriage, for you and your workplace. The world is going crazy. The world is doubting so many things. There has to be an urgency to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. There has to be an urgency as this businessman or businesswoman on the things that are happening around us. As a church, we know that the world is gripped with fear, but guess what? We can't be gripped with fear. Someone stopped me the other day and said, God, it's so interesting that y'all are opening up a new church in the days that we're living in. I thought, okay, let me unpack that for a second. For what you're saying then, because times are tight, we're less needed. I would switch that because times are crazy. It is more needed. Can I have a good amen? And that's what I got out of it is, wow, what a great idea to be opening up a bigger facility when there are more needs than ever. There are more marriages. There are more problems than ever. You and I get the awesome opportunity of being able to bring our resources to be able to open up those doors. But it is urgent. It is an urgent need. The other thing he did is he sacrificed. You know what's interesting? He didn't look around and said, give me your oxen. Bring it over here. I'm going to cut your oxen too. He cut his own oxen too. You know what he had? He had some skin in the game. He said, I'm willing to sacrifice. He said, it takes personal sacrifice. Are we all willing to sacrifice? He shed blood. Because there's always covenant when blood is shed. And then the other thing he did is he rallied the people to unity. The devil divides and conquers, but we have to be a people that stick together. Hey, guys, quit crying. Suck it up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. It's time to fight. It's time to rally. What we do today will make a difference in our tomorrow. We've got to come together or we'll come apart if we don't come together. And then the sixth thing he did is he let God do his work. He gave way to the power. He put the men in three companies. And they struck out early in the morning. One old scholar, old commentary I read yesterday said that how Saul, his military strategy was symbolism and it was prophecy of another early morning where there was going to be a serpent, a Satan, that thought that he had the people of God surrounded with defeat. And he sat back and laughed because 3 days earlier, this Savior had been crucified on a cross. But now he lay dead in a tomb. But early on the third day, the stone was rolled away and Jesus was alive. Amen. On the third day, early in the morning, three companies on the third day, victory came. Do you know what? You and I have three companies. I'm going to give it to you and then we're going to finish. Here's the first company. You have the Word of God. Don't discount the Word of God in your battle today. It is your strength in your battle. It is your weapon in your battle. The Word of God. Not the word of people. Not the word of man. You have the Word of God. Use it. Here's the second thing you have. You have the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God. Surrender yourself. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the age. And then the third company you have is the name of Jesus. You take the Word of God, you take the Spirit of God, and you take the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this? Through that, you can stand against any enemy that will come against your life. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the name of Jesus. You can stand against any enemy that will come against your life. Don't be surprised when you wake up one morning and you look on the horizon and there's a King Nahash. It's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. Yeah, can I have a good amen? Yeah.